morning.
As has been our custom here for a few years, we choose a time early in the year to address the congregation and to go over results from the previous year and talk about plans and goals for the next year. And that's what we'll be doing here this morning. If you're visiting, and please hang in here with us. We'll have a presentation, Patrick and I, and then Brother Pope will have a lesson along the lines of our theme. First of all, I want to thank everyone. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I want to thank our deacons for the work that they do. I want to thank all the members that work diligently here to serve God. Want to thank our teachers and the hard work that they do here, and the parents for the work that you do with your children to try to teach them. We have some outstanding children in this church, and very thankful for that. And that's mainly due to their parents. We want to thank Kyle for the work that he does here. Kyle does a lot of things behind the scenes here, in addition to his preaching and teaching. And we thank you, Kyle. Want to thank this is a little bit off base here a little bit, but not so much. Want to thank the young children for your notes that you sent Pat and I a while back, and for the teachers and your role in that. You do not know how much that meant to us and how special that was. So I hope everyone knows that our entire goal as elders is to serve God and to serve you. And we take our responsibilities very seriously, and we search the Gospels for authority for all that we do, and we know that we will be held accountable, and we are responsible for the souls of the members here. So always remember that, if you will. We'll start off with the official program here, with the financial. And 2017, I've already gone over that. So contribution comparisons. In 14, our average contribution was a little over $4,000. Our weekly average in 15, was $3,500. We lost several members in 2014. I think the net was down 12 or 14, and is reflected some of it's reflected in these numbers. May not be totally due to that loss, but anyway, in a large part. And the 16 was at 3560, and then 2017 we rebounded a little. We added some members, and I think some of us dug a little deeper, and gave a little more. So this is not about a fundraiser. That's not what it's all about. But as a information for everyone here, kind of where we stand, and also maybe some encouragement to do all that you can do for the Lord's work here. Our regular contribution for the year totaled $193,621, and then we had a special contribution for the saints in Africa. We support a gentleman in South Africa that evangelizes in Zimbabwe and Botswana and South Africa. And we took up some special contributions to send over there for food to be purchased. Most of these people are sustenance farmers. They eat what they grow, and they had suffered several years of drought. And so not only in 2017, but in years previous to that, we had done this as well. So total contribution, a little over $196,000. We had expenses of $184,000, so we had a surplus in cash that went into cash of about almost $12,000. we're not trying to save a bunch of cash, folks. And we'll be need to use some of that. We'll need to use some of that money this year for some maintenance and repairs, in addition to our continued work here. So we can see that the increase is almost $12,000. Funds are used to preach the gospel. Brother Pope is our full-time evangelist here, and like I said, he does an outstanding job in many regards. We also support five other gospel preachers. We have two gospel meetings, and then we've had over the last 3 or 4 years, we've had a summer Bible study, and that has gone real well. Lots of participation from members here, and there's a little money that goes toward that. And then our annual singing every year. Men that we help support, in addition to Brother Pope, Javier Palomares, a Spanish-speaking individual that preaches in Dumas and out here and uses the building at Pleasant Valley. Richard Thedford is in the Fort Collins area. Warren Schultz in South Africa, and Derek Chambers in Albuquerque, New Mexico, along with Tim Stevens in Kemp, Texas. That totals $17,400, the amount that we provide those, we help to support those five gentlemen that we just talked about. And we've committed to continue that, and we hope at some point. We have requests, a lot of requests from time to time for support of gospel preachers, and we hope to be able to support more as time goes on. Gospel meetings. Last year in the spring, we had John Isaac Edwards. In the fall was Danny Dow. And we have scheduled, as was announced earlier, this spring. I guess somebody corrected us, said it was actually in the winter, but spring gospel meeting, Jeff Trahan from Port Arthur, Texas, February the 11th through the 16th. And we have in the fall, Tony Mock from Magnolia, Texas, scheduled for the September 9th through 14th. If you haven't put these dates on your calendar, please do so. Please make plans to attend. We'll continue the summer Bible study. That's June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have classes for all ages on Thursday and Friday night, and then on Saturday. We use we have some great teachers here. We have some teachers with lots of imagination and lots of enthusiasm. And it's if you have an opportunity to attend, it in addition to the classes that the adults will have here, it will be uplifting to watch those children and to see what we have an opportunity, take the opportunity to get a little taste of what they're studying and what they're learning, and it's worth coming to, and it's a good work. And we've been utilizing preachers from the area congregations to take part in the adult Bible study of that summer Bible study. We've scheduled a budget. Established a budget for $3,800 a week, which would be up $75 from what our budget is now. Normal expenses, projected building and maintenance. We have a parking lot that needs worked on. We have an auditorium that needs worked on. We have some work on the preacher's house that needs to be done. So we'll be trying to get those things done. So paint on the exterior here, et cetera. And then, like I said, house maintenance and repairs. And all of this is in our budget. We're going to use part of our cash to cover some of that. We'll probably plan to use around $25,000 of our cash to cover some of the large expenses, the parking lot and maybe the carpet in the auditorium and some paint and so on and so forth. Okay, Patrick, I went too far, didn't I? If I could, I would like to say one more thing. I'm sorry, Pat. I'm sorry. No. I'm not. No. Thank you very much. Appreciate your confidence there. But, Brady, thank you for leading those songs. And Brady knew what our theme is this year. And our theme is, what can I do? what can I do to support the work here? What can I do to spread the gospel? What can I do to edify the saints? What can I do to help this church? Individual responsibility. As we know, we're all going to be held accountable for what we do individually while on this earth. And there's a lot of things, whether they're large or small, and most of them may seem small to you or unimportant to you, but they're not. They all matter. So we look forward to working with you here. And Patrick, I'm sorry, I had a false alarm there. Now your time.
I'd like to add also my thanks. Hopefully I get this right. My thanks, as Jeff said, to all the members here, all the saints, our deacons, our teachers, our preacher, those who preach on every other or sometimes up here when we have others that participate up here in the pulpit. A lot of us are helpful when Kyle goes on gospel meetings and things like that, and we fill his positions, and we appreciate everything that everybody does there. Also, especially to the little kids. He mentioned that, and I hadn't thought about that in a while, but it just really brings almost tears to your eyes when you think about people that are thinking of what you're doing, because we get busy sometimes and we don't think about all that stuff. But we're very thankful to be here. Jeff and I feel a very strong responsibility and sometimes a fearful responsibility of the things that we have been given to do here. And as much as it's possible, I think you folks make it as easy as possible for us, and we're very thankful for that. One of the things that we have to do is keep up with things, and it's not because we're trying to stay in your business. We've learned a lot of things over the years that little trends will tell us of things that are going on and maybe things that we need to be more aware of and look at, and that's one of the reasons we keep up with a lot of numbers. But we're going to look at some statistics for 2017 to talk about the membership, also our attendance here, and a few other things about our goals for this year. Our statistics, we're looking, comparing everything back to 2014, and as you can see, 2014 we had two people that were baptized here, 2015 three, 2016 three, and 2017 it was four. We're seeing an upward trend. We hope to keep that upward trend going. We've already had some baptisms this year. We're tickled about that. So we look at that. Also, souls that have been restored to the work that, you know, God has commanded us to do. In 2014, we had one. 2015, one. Didn't have that problem. In 2016, 2017, we've had one. So we're very happy and excited about that. Moved in. It has a lot to do with budgets, and as he said, a little bit of what is given on a weekly basis. But 2014, we had six people move in. 2015, 11. 2016, eight. And last year, we started to see a change in the cycle, and we've had 18 new souls that have come to worship with us and be with us here. Moving is something that we can't do anything about as far as people moving away, because jobs take people places and different things. But as he was talking about in 2014, when we saw a big drop in contributions, as you notice, we lost about 22 here that year. In 2015, we lost nine. 2016, we lost eight. And this year we've actually lost 12 people that were associated with us here. But then also we look at those who passed away. 2014 we had one. 2015 we were lucky, nobody passed away. And as in 2016, also in 2017, we had two of our members pass away, 16 and this year, but Sister Faye Newton and Sister Joy Riley, and we're trying to keep up with that to know where we're at and what all is going on there. We didn't have anybody decide to leave the service of the Lord this year. We did have three last year, so we kind of keep an eye on that and look at the trends and see what's going on. Are there any changes that need to be made, or is there anything that needs to be taught on? Because Jeff and I are really given the responsibility of feeding the flock spiritually. And Kyle helps us a great deal there, and we're appreciative of the things that he does there. But in watching the numbers, we kind of get an idea of what's going on and maybe is there anything that we need to do. But if you look at the changes in that, in 2014, we basically lost 17. In 2015, we broke even. Last year, we lost 5. And in 2017, we were up 9. And in this year, we also have had some come to join us and talk to us. So we hope to see the trend continue. And obviously, like we talked in class and things, we're not here to grow just because of numbers. We're here to grow spiritually. But as we grow spiritually, we think the numbers will grow. Sometimes people move away and go, but that's kind of out of our control. Also, 2015, I believe, we started a new format. A lot of us took a little while to get used to it, so actually we can kind of compare our attendance numbers now in the new format. 2015 is when we started meeting 3 hours in the morning, but 2016 gave us some full numbers, and then 2017. So in our first hour of worship, we're actually up 24 for this last year. Bible classes is about even. We're down 1. In second worship, we're up about 3 so far, or through into 2017. Wednesday night is actually held pretty close to the same, but we're up 1 there on Wednesday night Bible classes that we have, and we kind of wondered about what would happen with Wednesday because of the changes we made in our new format. But we started this last year keeping up with our summer Bible studies and also our gospel meetings. And this last year we averaged 105, which to me is very, very impressive in the summer, because we're really doing a lot for the kids, which is good for them, but we do have adult Bible classes. That's in the middle of the summer. We've got all kinds of vacations and travel and things are going on. So we're going to continue to watch that and keep up with that. But our spring meeting, and this is just for Monday through Friday, we started keeping up with attendance. And we kind of were concerned a little bit about our spring meeting and the attendance that we had. We did make some adjustments, and Kyle helped us out with a couple of lessons and things before we started our fall meeting. And as you can see, it jumped up to 120. So we're happy that that happened. We'll continue to keep an eye on the numbers and do the things that we're doing there, and try to bring in and do the best gospel meetings we can. The last slide I'm going to have here is just talking about the summary of the 2018 year, our goals and our work. And everything is not going to be listed here. Obviously, our primary reason for existence is evangelism, is to get the word about Jesus Christ out to all that we can. I didn't list that as a job this year, but that's every year, and we're going to be working on that. But as Jeff was talking about, we're going to go with the theme of what can I do, and he started off talking about that in a very good manner, but we're only as strong as the individuals that are here. And we live in a culture where we're busy constantly, and there are things that is amazing that it takes, how much attention it takes away from us. And I don't know about you folks, I assume you're similar to me, I don't think I'm different. But there's times during the year that I almost feel overwhelmed with the responsibilities and the things that are coming up and the things that pop up. And because of that, sometimes we forget about what we need to do. But we're only as strong as our members. And if we can get everybody to pull on the rope at the same time and do what they can and continually keep before them, what can I do to help Olson Park Church of Christ do the job that we have, to do the job that Jesus Christ has commanded us to do, and to watch over it, everybody. What can I do to keep an eye on the people sitting next to me? What can I do to make their lives easier? What can I do to support them? What can I do to support Kyle, Tony? What can I do to support the elders? And as Jeff said, we've got a lot of it, and we appreciate it. We'll take any support that you can give us. But we want everybody to kind of concentrate on this on a weekly basis, is look in the mirror and ask yourself, What can I do? We do have a program that I think Kyle's going to unveil for us, and we didn't really talk about it a lot, but coming up this year, and he's come up or found it from some other people. It's kind of a low-pressure invitation program that we've been talking about. Some of you might have seen these cards that are sitting out in the foyer. They're already been made, and Kyle has done this for us, and we'll give you some more information about that hopefully later, but we're trying to make it as easy as possible. Our culture is different. And if you can hand somebody a card and just say, consider us, think about it, you know, do you serve God? Do you believe in Jesus? If people are having problems and they're complaining about things, you might just hand them a card with your name on it and say, you might want to come here. These people can help out, and this would be a place that you would probably enjoy. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Obviously, we have our gospel meetings in February 11th through 16th with Brother Trahan. And then Tony Mock in September 9th through the 14th. And we need to continue to ask, what can I do to help these be successful? It might be invitations. It might be cleaning the building. It might be song leading. It might be feeding the preacher. It might be supporting whoever. But we want everybody to think along the lines of what we can do to make our gospel meetings successful. I know our culture is changing, and we haven't come to the conclusion yet of changing our gospel meetings. We still believe we're seeing positive effects and helps with them, so we will continue on short term with that. We will do our summer Bible studies June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and Jeff mentioned that and talked a little bit about that. There's no reason to talk about that anymore. Our annual summer singing is August the 10th this year, so we have some deacons that head that up for us, and we've been doing this, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, 5 years now, and it started off with some of the deacons we had serving before, Eddie and some of the others, and we appreciate it. It is hopefully going to continue to grow and be an improvement, but we'll work with that. But also the whole idea of what can I do to help this situation. It's just not the song leaders, and it's just not the guys that are making the plans. There's all kinds of people can help with invitations, with support, be here, and things like that, and we appreciate you being here. Just to mention again, we have a goal of updating the building. We've got some things to do around here. It's going to not be cheap, but it needs to be done. We're very fortunate that we do not have a mortgage on a building, and we do not have a mortgage on a house, so most of our contributions can go to the work and the things that we're doing. But we can't let it deteriorate, and because it will be a lot more expensive later on. Preacher training program, from time to time we get asked about it, and we have not forgotten about it. We enjoyed it. We want to do it, but it is expensive. It does cost money, and as you see the budget right now, we do not have the money for it. We hope to get to the position where we can do it again. We're not out advertising and looking, but when somebody's name comes up, Jeff and I will certainly consider it. We had a name come up this year, and we looked at it and listened to him and read some things that he did, but just didn't feel like at this time we needed to risk those kind of finances on that position. And I think we did a very good job, not Jeff and I, but this congregation did a very good job, and Kyle did a very good job working with the three trainees that we've had. They're not trainees anymore. They're full-time preachers, and we hear good things about them. So we do not want to discount that, and it's not out of our minds, but it is still there, and we will continue with it as we can. We are going to reintroduce the personal work groups this year. So there will be some information that will come about this a little bit later on. It may not be exactly the way we did it in years gone by, but we feel like we need to spend more time together and work together. And again, what can I do to help make this work? And we'll be giving you more information about that times and how it's going to happen a little bit later on. Last but not least, we're going to go through the process this year of additional additions to the eldership and to the deacons. And we will give you more information on that as we approach that time, but we want to go through this. We've had a lot of questions about it, and Jeff and I have talked a great deal about it, and believe me, we will take any help that we can get and look forward to that. So we want to go through this process. So you need to think again about the thing. What can I do to help this process? So, gentlemen, ladies, qualifications are in Timothy and Titus. Need to think about this How do I get myself in a position, or my husband help him get in that position? Gentlemen, how am I in that position? Am I ready? Can I do this? We need to start looking at those things. We want to go through it this year, and we'll have more information for you later about that. That's the information that I have for our goals and our work. And Kyle's going to speak with us just a little while.
Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to begin with the text there in just a few moments. On behalf of the congregation, let me thank the elders for the good work that they do. I know that there's so much that they do behind the scenes. We appreciate what they have set forth for our goals for this congregation, and we submit to them, and may it be that we yield to their judgment on such things, and I know that the Lord's work will grow and that the Lord will be glorified in that. I would mention, I'm not an elder, but on behalf of the elders, I would also thank Chuck for the work that he did. He will keep track of all the stats and the numbers, and he then puts together the PowerPoint that the elders will use. I did the animations on it and everything, but I'm sure that they extend their gratitude to him as well. I don't want to presume, but I'm certain that that's true as well.
You're correct.
Okay. I would like to start us off by thinking a little bit about life. And think about our day-to-day activities, our day-to-day opportunities that come up. I think it is true that every day has opportunities with which we are presented. In Galatians chapter 6, read with me beginning in verse 7 and go down to verse 10. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." You know, as we think about this in the context, it may be talking about generosity, but as it uses the term good to all, we must recognize that there are many ways in which we have opportunities to serve the Lord. Whether it's doing good to others in terms of generosity or helpfulness, or even spreading the gospel, having opportunities to talk to others. We in the local church have tremendous opportunities by which we can help in this area or that area. We can support this aspect of the work or that area of the work. As we think about our accountability before God, it's important for us to recognize that we need to act on those opportunities. Go with me to James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And as we look at this passage that is one of the three texts that will help us define what sin is, that sin is the violation of law. Sin is, as Romans 14 will talk about, the failure to act with faith. But then notice here in James chapter 4 and verse 17, sin is also a failure to do the good that we know we ought to. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Now, we might look at that and say, well, I'm not able to act on every opportunity that I have. Am I sinning in that? Well, I don't think that's necessarily the idea. But clearly, we need to act on the good that we have before us. We need to do that which is set before us. We need to take that as a challenge and take it seriously. We can't just say, well, I can't do everything, so I'm not going to do anything. We must act on these opportunities. Fact of the matter is that when it comes to the day of judgment, I will not stand before God and be judged by what you have done. I will not stand before God and be judged by what others have done. I will stand before God and be judged by what I have done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." That's a serious kind of thing for us to think about. It's very easy for us sometimes to just think within ourselves, well, so-and-so is doing it, so-and-so is taking care of it. You know, on the day of judgment, what's going to matter is, what have I done? You know, there are a number of examples in Scripture where we have folks that had very good motives or said things that were the right kind of things. And we often, because of the consequence or what happens, look at these purely in a negative light. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to notice one who came to Jesus with a very good attitude and intention. The problem was not the attitude and intention. The problem was the failure to follow through. A scribe, let's notice in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The inference seems to be that this man didn't follow through. You know, it's one thing to talk big, but he did not follow through. You remember Peter, if you go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Peter is one that often demonstrated great courage. He often is one that, like the scribe, failed to follow through in some respects. Remember, he's the one that stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the sea until he lost heart. You remember that when Jesus describes the fact that others would betray him, Peter is convinced that he will not do that. Look with me in Luke's account of this, in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now notice Peter's attitude. "But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Now, notice that attitude is not the problem. Peter's zeal was admirable, but Peter stumbled. Listen to what the Lord goes on to say. He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me." That was the problem, wasn't it? Our attitude really should be more like we see reflected. If you go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. The attitude of Isaiah when he is humbled as he has a vision in the presence of God. And I'd like us to read the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 6, which tell us, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." Isaiah didn't say, "Well, find somebody else." Isaiah didn't say, "Who's going to do that? You know, there'd be somebody that'd be good for that." Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." The elders have set before us this year a theme or a goal or a focus that we are to think within ourselves, what can I do? And there are a whole lot of different ways that we can begin to think about that. Last week, we began to encourage thinking about the idea of our gospel meeting and even this meeting today and how we can do things to help with that. Shortly, we'll have a meal list up, and each of you can have an opportunity perhaps to feed the preacher and to spend time with him. I'm encouraged. I had urged you last week to, if you use Facebook, begin sharing that. We have flyers, and I urge you to get the paper flyers and to hand them out. I can report that I think I got it posted on Facebook Thursday. They keep track of numbers of who they say it's reached Already 1,200 people, it claims, have been reached, and that means it's popped up on the news feed of 1,200 people. Think about that. And I think the last time I looked, only 14 had shared it. So I know others of you can do that. That's a small thing that you can do. But you can invite people. You can help people, that the sick that need to be visited, those that maybe need food taken to them after some kind of surgery or loss. Or there's other things you can do to help the Lord. But we need to say, what can I do? And if we're going to have that attitude, it means that we can't say, well, someone else will do it. Or we can't say, why aren't they doing such and such? Instead, we must act. We must do it. And I want to talk to you for just a moment about one simple thing. A number of years ago, I participated in a lectureship in Athens, Alabama, that was focusing on evangelism. And for the first time, I got to meet a gospel preacher by the name of Max Dawson. Max preaches at the Dowling Road Church in Beaumont, Texas. It is a congregation that's now about 300 members. And Brother Dawson was talking about something that was very successful for them. And he called it an I recommend card. And he described why they use it. And you'll notice as you see the ones that we've produced that are similar to it, on the front it has times of services and it has the address and location. On the back, it has a little statement that says, and I'm going to display it for you here as we've done it. If you are looking for a church where your kids can learn the Bible, that teaches the truth from God's Word, where joy and forgiveness are real, that is a family of caring Christians, I recommend the Olson Park Church of Christ. Brother Dawson said that one of the main ways in which they are able to generate Bible studies and to get people to visit, and he attributes their growth in numbers to simply a little I recommend card. What they do is they will ask their members every week to try to hand out three. Now, the elders here have not set a number that they are setting before the congregation at this time. But you will notice in the foyer now, he sent me kind of their version of it. I changed the graphics a little bit, put our information on it, but we now have that. And you'll notice on the back, there's a line at the bottom. If you choose to, you can write your name on there if you want to personalize it and you want to make it something where somebody could get in touch with you that way. But you'll notice in the foyer, there are three places now, above both the bulletins and on the little black tray, that there are cards that you can get. And I encourage you to take as many as you want, as often as you want. There's a box full of 1,000 of them, and we'll print more as time goes on. But this is something, as Pat mentioned, it's not high pressure. It's not something in which you have to sit down and have a long discussion. Maybe it's just something in which, hey, I want to invite you to service. I want to invite you to Olson Park. I recommend to you Olson Park. It's a little something that we can do. That is perhaps not the only thing we ought to do, but it absolutely is one small thing that each and every one of us, whether we're old, whether we're young, whether we have trouble speaking to others, whether we're comfortable speaking with others or not, it is a small thing that each and every one of us can do. Let's end with the passage. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like us to think about in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. As both of the elders mentioned, you know, it sometimes may be a very small thing. But we need to recognize that whatever it is that we are doing, and we are doing it because we are Christians, we are doing it because we are serving the Lord, we need to recognize that that's why we're doing it. We need to do it as if this is something directly offered as an act of service to our God. Colossians 3, beginning verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would urge you this very day, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God you have not been serving the Lord faithfully, And I urge you to ask for the prayers of the saints here. Gain the encouragement that can come from brothers and sisters that love you and want to see you go to heaven. If we can help you, won't you come? While we stand and sing.